אז שוב ערב טוב לכולם. אני מקווה שהצלחנו כבר להבין איך התרגום מתנהל. אז שם בפינה הימנית יש תרגום. From English to Hebrew. No, it's just about the translation. So anyone who needs translation from Hebrew, it's over there. אז כמה מילים שאני רוצה לשתף לגבי מה, לא שומעים? אוקיי, אני אנסה לדבר ברור. כמה מילים על הדבר הזה שאנחנו עושים כאן ביחד, שהוא לא לגמרי בהכרח מובן או מובן מאליו. כבר אמרנו את זה כמה פעמים היום, זה לא מובן מאליו, ואולי גם לא לגמרי מובן. ובמיוחד מאחר שיש גם כמה אנשים חדשים, אני אגיד כמה מילים על הפורמט הזה, המבנה המשונה הזה שאנחנו נמצאים בו, ואני לא מתכוונת למבנה של הבניין, אלא הקונסטרקט הזה שאנחנו קוראים לו ריטריט, שהוא בעברית המילה, הפירוש זה התכנסות. ואנחנו מתכנסים כאן, התכנסנו כאן ביחד כולנו, זאת התכנסות אחת. התכנסות נוספת זה התכנסות של כל אחד ואחת מאיתנו. ואנחנו באנו כאן באופן באמת שהוא יוצא דופן לאיזשהו דבר שהוא, שאנחנו בעצם שמים את עצמנו לסוף שבוע הזה, בסיטואציה שעל פניו שוללת מאיתנו הרבה חירויות. אנחנו שמים את עצמנו כמו בסיטואציה כפויה, בסיטואציה שלא מאפשרים לנו לאכול מתי שאנחנו רוצים, לישון מתי שאנחנו רוצים, יש סדר יום. אני חושבת שרובנו פעם אחרונה שחלקנו חדר עם אנשים שאנחנו לא מכירים, זה היה באיזה קייטנה. אנחנו אולי לא יודעים איך יהיה לי פה, איך יהיה לי כאן האוכל, איך יהיה לי כאן לישון, איך יהיה לי לתרגל כל כך הרבה ימים, כל כך הרבה שעות. אולי עולה איזושהי, אולי יש חששות מאוד, מאוד טבעיות, אולי ציפייה שמחה גם, שזה גם מאוד טבעי. אבל אנחנו ממש לוקחים את הזמן הזה, ובחרנו לקחת את הזמן הזה ולשלול מעצמנו חופש כביכול מלעשות מה שבא לנו. את החופש לשתות קפה טוב, לעשות קפה במכונת קפה למי שיש, לראות טלוויזיה. מתי שרוצים, למי שיש, לי אין. לעשות סקס, למי שיש. אבל אני אומרת שאנחנו שוללים מעצמנו את החופש כביכול. למה אני אומרת כביכול? ועל איזה חופש בעצם אנחנו מדברים? ולמה בעצם, למה בחרנו בסיטואציה הזאת? שהיא באמת יוצאת דופן ולא רגילה. ואני חושבת שכבר חוויתם שיש בה הרבה חוסר נוחות. זה לא סיטואציה מאוד, אנחנו לא שמנו את עצמנו כאן בתנאים שהדבר המרכזי שאפשר להגיד אליהם שהם מאוד נוחים. נכון? ובכל זאת בחרנו לבוא לפה. היה משהו, היה לנו שווה. שווה לנו מספיק לבוא בשביל לשים את עצמנו במקום הזה, בסיטואציה הזאת, עם החוסר נוחות, עם זה שההרגלים שלנו מאותגרים כאן. מה היה לנו שווה מספיק בשביל לבוא לכאן? שווה שנעמיד את עצמנו במצב של חוסר נוחיות ונוחות, ונשים על עצמנו מגבלות, ונאתגר את ההרגלים שלנו. אולי יש איזשהו חופש שהוא לא כביכול, שאותו הנפש מחפשת. אולי יש איזו כמיהה למשהו שאולי אין לנו מילים עבורו בהכרח. אולי יש איזושהי תחושה פנימית שאנחנו אפילו לא יודעים מאיפה היא באה, שאומרת לנו, יש יותר בחיים מאשר נוחיות והרגלים. There's more to life than just נוחיות והרגלים. אולי הנפש מבקשת חופש אחר. אולי זה חופש של היכולת לחוש רווחה, well-being, רווחה פנימית, שהיא לא תלויה בהכרח בזה שיהיה לי נוח, ושכל מה שאני רוצה יהיה זמין לי במיידי. אולי האפשרות באמת, האופק, הוויז'ן של אפשרות, שה-well-being שלי, ואפילו אני אעיז להגיד, השמחה והשלווה שלי, לא יהיו תלויים בנסיבות חיצוניות. אנחנו לקראת חג שבועות, ובחג שבועות עושים תיקון שבועות. וזה מעלה לי את השאלה, האם משהו התקלקל שצריך לתקן? ואולי אנחנו כאן לא בשביל לתקן, אני בעצם חוזרת בי מהמילה אולי. אנחנו כאן לא כי צריך לתקן, אלא כי יש איזשהו חיבור עמוק שקורה לנו. קורה באלף, אולי גם קורה בהי, כשאנחנו כאן. לאיזשהו משהו שאולי הוא מעבר לא רק לנוחיות ולהרגלים, אולי הוא גם מעבר אפילו לכל דבר מוכר. כאילו איזשהו רובד שהוא פחות אולי זמין לנו ביומיום. שהוא מעבר למחשבות, לרגשות, אפילו למה שאני קוראת לו האישיות שלי, שאין בה שום דבר שצריך לתקן בהכרח. אבל אולי יש משהו נוסף, אולי יש משהו שאני לא באה איתו במגע, ואני מרגישה, משהו בי מרגיש. שמה יש משהו בשבילי. שמה יש משהו ששווה לחיות בשבילו. ששווה לקום בבוקר בשבילו. ששווה לטפח אותו. ששווה לפתח אוזן רגישה יותר ששומעת אותו. אג'יי סינג, שהוא מורה וחבר יקר, גם שלי וגם של ג'איה ושל עוד הרבה אנשים פה, הוא אומר, זה ציטוט שלו, אם אנחנו לא פועלים כל הזמן מתוך תגובתיות, אנחנו יכולים לראות שכל התרחשות היא חדשה. שמה שקורה כעת בעצם חדש לחלוטין. ואין לו כל קשר להשלכות ולציפיות שלנו. ואז אפשר לראות את מה שקורה באמת, מתוך הטריות של הסיטואציה, מתוך החיים, ולא לתת לעבר לשלוט על חיינו. הטריות של החיים. איך זה עשוי להרגיש לחיות את החיים מתוך הטריות של החיים, מתוך הטריות של הרגע הזה. לא של ההשלכות שלי על הרגע הזה מתוך העבר. לא הציפיות שלי על הרגע הזה מתוך העתיד. אני אסיים בשיר, כשמתחילים לשמוע עם אוזן של דרמה, שומעים דרמה בכל מקום. שיר של זמרת עכשווית מאוד, שרק הוציאה תקליט חדש, יעל דקלבאום. מה יאירני? שאלה נהדרת, מה יאירני? מה יאירני אם לא התאווה? איך אתקדם בלי אותה להבה, של הנצח אוכלת ואיננה שבעה? מה ישמרני אם לא הפחדים? איך אעצר בשפת הצוקים מלפרוס את כנפיי ולשוב לאלוהים? מה יאירני אם לא השעון? מי מחכה בשחור האישון שאפקח את עיניי כביומי הראשון? איך אגלה אם ישנה להבה של הנצח דולקת ואיננה תלויה? אז אני מאחלת לנו כאן הרבה רגעים שבהם אנחנו פוקחים את העיניים כביומנו הראשון, ונוגעים, נשרפים אפילו, באותה להבה של הנצח דולקת ואיננה תלויה.
It's good that every time I will get to have the experience of listening to the translation, which means you don't get the poetry. It's too hard to translate it. So I missed that. We got the first line. And we got the beautiful expression on your face as you were listening. And of course I have a couple of poems. So. First, I'd like to ask if you have any questions. I'm glad to see people with more space. You need some more cushions. So before I really start the talk, I want to just speak again about silence in a little bit practical way. Some people have heard about me or Open Dharma, the organization that I founded, as an easy way. And so someone today was asking, was saying, I heard it was an easy way. I said, well, yes and no. Or we could say easy is hard. So easy means that we're people, I'm a person, and you're a person. And here we are. And that's actually, we're welcome to be here as we are. So that's easy. You don't have to try to be that meditator person. You don't have to be somebody else to be allowed here. But then, whoa. What is it to just be a person here? With things that you like and things that you don't like. Always. So one thing that helps in being together that can make it easier to be together, though it might be hard to do sometimes, is being silent. And what does that mean? Again, sometimes it's just worth to say. It actually means no speaking. It means also, if possible, not reading and writing. Taking notes in the talk or whatever is totally fine. But just for these 48 hours to give up some of our investment in words. That's what we're talking about. We're not saying words are bad. We're just saying we've probably been doing way too many words to actually know what am I? What is it to just be myself here? What, now that I'm welcome, what? So I don't have to be somebody else. Oh my God. And so it can be helpful not having to give your opinion. That food was so good or so bad. That talk was so good or so bad. Excuse me, sorry, thank you, please. Those are words that you don't need to use for 48 hours. And in a small, simple way, there might be a part of us hearing that news that feels relaxed and a part of us that feels anxious. And that is actually a good sign because then you're really hearing me. Just to be silent, even if you've already done it hundreds of times, challenges the way we live our lives. How is it going there with the transition? Yeah? Okay. It challenges the way we think we live our lives, though we have not yet found out about living much. We're busy trying to be somebody else. So just a little bit less words going out and coming in. I'm sorry that it's good to acknowledge that you're here in silence and I'm here to talk more than ever in my daily life. And you're here, we ask you, please don't bring your water bottles because it's noisy and people trip on them and so on. Please let me bring my water bottle so that my voice can keep going. Easy means there's a schedule that is not meant to be the right way to live your life or even the right way to do a retreat, but it is a good way to be together for 2 days. And it's not just the usual thing in the notebook of Tovana and most meditation centers. If you're more than 5 minutes late, please don't come in. No. The easy way means go easy, come early. We think of go easy means come late, doesn't matter what time it is. Everybody's easy going, I can just sip over them. Half an hour late. No, it doesn't mean that. It means really chill out and come early. 3, 4, 5 minutes early. And get nicely settled for the beginning of the meditation. Ah. It's a good practice. And that's what we're asking. And then easy, please rest. Is it easy or is it hard? Is it easy or is it hard to rest, to get the instructions? The main instructions are please rest. What happens next? doesn't it start to come some questions? What if I can't rest? Or what if I do rest? Or what is rest? It doesn't need to be questions in the mind. It could just be feeling a little disturbed. And that's part of resting, is being disturbed, being restless in a deep way. So we start to let the normal restlessness fade, our addiction to being occupied, busy, and on the move at all times. And we start to get to know the motive, the reason. What is the underlying reason for all of that action? In you, yourself. There's not like the reason out there. It's just deep inside you. And you can find it. Just as I came out of the room to come to the talk, as has happened several times since I've come to Israel this time, I was surprised. There were some people there holding an injured bird. A bird. Tweet, tweet, tweet. That was not tweeting. It was alive in the hands of someone. It had been hurt. Yeah? A bird that was hurt. That's kind of what we get to do with ourselves in there. That's not all that there is. But there's a place that's a hurt bird that is made to fly, but isn't flying. And could be held very gently. And let's see what happens next. That's not all there is, but that's an important part of starting to find out what we are now that we're welcome here as we are. So again, I need to make a new document for the managers of the deep rest retreats in Israel. Because it said, this room is only for sitting. And that's not true. You're very welcome to stand still. And you're very welcome to sit still. And you're very welcome to lie down still. And it isn't aerobics class. That you lie, stand, sit, stand. And it isn't also sit as long as you can and then lie down when you can't anymore. And it's not the other way around either. It's not lie down as long as you can and then sit up. It's at the beginning of a meditation, actually be inside your body for a moment. To the best of your ability, we're learning how to do that. That's all, your best guess. The body is going to lie down or the body is going to sit. Okay? So easy means yes, you can lie down or you can sit, what you want, what you think is good. You can also stand. But easy doesn't mean sit and then lie down for a while and then sit up for a while. It doesn't mean just going with that kind of feeling. It means giving a pause to feel for a deeper intuition. And if you're not sure, then just lie down. And please look on the board, because just lie down sounds really easy too, but if you just lie down flat on your back or flat on your belly or flat on your side, you will do damage. So please look on the board. There's nice pictures that someone took of what might be helpful things to try, especially if you're lying on your back, to put something under your knees so your knees are bent and relaxed. Probably with your feet also up. On something stable, comfortable, and above where your hips are. So those are two things to try. There's a couple of extra people who sneaked in the retreat inside bellies, and often side lying is the only way to go at that point. So for side lying, cushion between the knees is usually good. So also rest is not taken lightly. It's not a joke. It's not like try to rest a little or pretend to rest or something. It's not icing on a cake. It's food. And so I'm not making a joke on you by saying rest, lie down in the hall. I know you're tired, almost everyone. And I know you will lie down and you will sleep. And so it's another thing to edit for the next year, for the opening talk for the managers for this retreat. It's not that you want to go to sleep really deeply and you come to the hall. If you know you're going to just completely pass out for 3 hours, please go be comfortable in your bed so that we won't trip over you on our way in and out. But if you're a bit tired and you want to please come to the meditation with instructions, for example. And you're probably going to fall asleep for a while at least. It can be a good way for the instructions to sneak in the back door, first of all. And to me, it would be a torture to say, lie down, be comfortable, relax, feel the weight of your body. But whatever you do, don't sleep. How could you rest? It would be like practicing anxiety. So just on cue, there will be sounds that go along with sleeping. If you're like me and you snore, is that an easy to know word or is it similar in Hebrew? If you know that you make lots of noise when you fall asleep, then you might want to lie on your side or face down. Okay, that's what I do if I'm very tired, especially the first meditation of the day. Are there any questions so far? Okay. This column was purposely installed. Yes. Because there has to be something wrong. Otherwise, there will be something else wrong. So, we have the column to work with. So just to start with having the column, this is the teacher this weekend, especially for those of you over here. Not so much. When we find out that we're frustrated or disappointed, for example, something's wrong. It gives us a chance to feel, oh, what was my assumption? What was I assuming about how it's supposed to be? We find out that we had an expectation. So it could be that someone is an engineer and is going to say how this could be removed for next time with just a little work. So it's not to say there couldn't be a change, that we have to keep the column. But when we expect that there should be a nice, clear, open, wide view, and then there seems to be something in the way, and just notice first, who do you get angry at, or what happens, or do you give up, or do you feel sad? What happens when you thought it was supposed to be a wide open view, and then there's something that seems to be in the way. That's getting to know not what you really are, but part of you, part of your program, part of what makes you unfree. And so it's good to be friendly with that part, to find out what hurts underneath there. Is it that they should move the column? How could they use this as a meditation hall with that? Or is it me? I'll never get around this. I can't see. I'm left out. I'm not saying it's an invalid thing to experience. Or I'm not saying it's wrong to experience that. I'm saying when something feels wrong, don't assume that you're right. And don't assume that you're wrong. Just feel what you feel for a moment. And check around trying to feel what is the expectation or assumption about how it's supposed to be. And what if we're wrong? What if it's not supposed to be that way? Or even if it's supposed to be a certain way, what if that doesn't matter that much? Like, it would be great if I could see you better, and I have to move the microphone with me to lean. But the most important thing is connection, not to let a reaction get in the way of a fact of connection, a fact of welcome. So I'd like to talk about our true colors, we could say. It came today, two poems, both about colors, different colors. And rather than, I probably won't read much of the poetry, or I'll just read the poetry at the end for people who understand well. It's more the image that the poets have used that's important to me today. And one is a man named Kabir, who lived in India some centuries ago. He was a rebel. And you probably know what henna is. Do you know what henna is? Have you seen the plant? Or have you only seen the drawings? So henna is a plant, first, mehendi. And then the leaves are used to make the paste. And the leaves are green. So in Hindi, the word henna, mehendi, doesn't mean that dark red-brown color. Mehendi in Hindi means that green, an olive green. And so Kabir asks, can we find in the green leaves of henna their dark red? In case someone doesn't know henna, I didn't really say what it is, I think, exactly. In India especially, now everywhere, but in India especially, for special occasions, and especially for weddings, women and men, but especially now mostly the women, have very elaborate dyed paintings on their hands and feet, sometimes face also. Just putting this paste very carefully in lines on the hand, letting it soak in. And there's all the techniques around how to get the color deeper and darker and stronger. Putting mustard oil and keeping it on, not touching water overnight. Keeping it on overnight. And then the way of taking it off that also deepens the color. As our culture gets more and more towards sort of instant, we start to lose touch with the richness of knowing how to work with the plant and the skin and the kind of oil that's growing next to you to be creative and artistic. So Kabir is asking about finding the red in the green leaves. And then he talks about red as his love of aliveness or God or whatever. And finding red in everything. So one confusion that can happen with meditation is we do want to take into account our actual experience, the direct experience. And then we expect our direct experience, which is very simple and obvious, but we expect it to kind of have a floor. We don't expect it to have no floor, to be bottomless, to be ungraspable. So if you just feel the contact of your body with the ground right now, it's not your imagination that you're touching the ground. But there is some imagination also going on. As soon as I say, let's feel the ground, you feel the ground. And your mind starts having an imagined version of feeling the ground. And we have been trained to prefer the imagined version, to think that's better, because it isn't bottomless. Or in Kabir's words, it doesn't have any red color inside the green leaves. It's not confusing. It's not contradictory. It's just simple and contained. It's flat. It's colorless. And so if we practice meditation in that way, tuning in, rather than tuning into the contact with the ground, which is very alive, and we tune into how I'm thinking about touching the ground, my mind will come up with an image or a sound or a word or a memory, and I get interested in that, and I think I'm meditating being in touch with the ground. I'm meditating being in touch with my mind. Which is also fine if I know that's what I'm doing. But we confuse ourselves. Okay, so notice that. Keep practicing. That means keep practicing feeling for the actual experience. And know that the actual experience will tell you it's ungraspable. It's not a thing. Try to catch the contact with ground feeling. As soon as you stop to try to say what it feels like, you're out of touch with contact with ground. So it all stays very, very simple and yet completely ungraspable. And if we just accept, acknowledge, that is our situation. And therefore, meditation is bottomless from the beginning. It's not like we have to build up to some extreme state or high, direct lightning path or whatever. From the beginning, it's lightning. So let's come back to the henna. With looks green, has red inside it. We do want to just be in touch with ourselves and our experience, with ourselves through our experience. And simply notice what comes across first. What's the green experience of the leaf? That's really good practice. It's just hot. It's just cold. It's just heavy. It's just light. Soft, hard, sharp, fast. Slow. Still. And what is the red in the leaf of the experience? that we can somehow sense or know, but not with our usual eyes. So it's partly what I already said, the bottomlessness, the ungraspable of all the simple experiences. Another way to say it is, this is, we call this my body, and we each seem to have one. And none of us has any idea how to make one, or when it's going to stop working. We know it will stop working, but we don't know when, how, where, etc. So in some way it's my body. In a very limited way, we can say it's my body. But we're so used to thinking of it as my body that the my gets bigger than the body. And so here we just practice letting the body part have a little more space. What is that experience of body? And the more I notice that it's not so mine after all, the more I have room to experience it. A sense of wonder or strangeness about a knee or a finger. What? And then you also? That weird design? Again and again and again and again and again. So it is easy, again, in one way, because our simple basic experience is that mind-blowing. If we let it. If we let the body just be heavy and be here and be itself, what happens next? Can try it. Other than nodding off, going to sleep, what happens for you? Let the body be heavy in here and itself. Anybody want to say? Anybody not want to say, but willing to say anyway? Let the body be heavy and here and itself, and then what happens? So we have 2 days to notice, and then we have, if we're lucky, we have more days to notice. One thing I notice is a certain kind of, definitely heavy, that I can't quite, wow, it is heavy, but where is it? And then a certain kind of openness or lightness or expansiveness, too. That doesn't say there's not heaviness. It almost does sometimes. But there's both. And so then we come to a day in the life of one of my favorite poets, Wendell Berry. He's an American guy who, as far as I know, is still alive. If he didn't die today. And when he was 16, he was living in the countryside, and he just was working on the hay, just like they are today, over there. Yeah, over there. Only he wasn't using those enormous tractors and stuff. He was working by hand, which I think is not irrelevant. I think it has importance. He doesn't mention that much in the poem. But you know that feeling of when you work hard with your body in nature. It's a certain feeling. And then he walked up to the top of the hill, and then he looked over the other side. And I do need to read some of the poems. I'll try to go slowly. I'm going to read some of the end of the poem first. So he got to the top of the hill, and he looked, and he saw something specific that I will tell you. Don't worry. And the way he describes being there and seeing that after having worked hard that day. Raking hay. It seems as then another world in this world. Such as a pilgrim might travel days and years to find. And find at last. On the morning of his return, by his mere being at home, awake. A moment seen, forever known. Shall I do that again for the translation? And also for the non-translation? Okay. It seems as then another world in this world. Such as a pilgrim might travel days and years to find, okay, and find at last, on the morning of his or her return, by the mere being at home, awake, a moment seen, forever known. Is that okay? Or you want another? Okay. Yeah. So he just saw a field, and in the field a small pond. In the pond reflected big sky, and in the grass all around the pond it just happened to be blooming chicory flowers. It's a very specific color, like sky. There's I've just forgotten the name of it, but there's a bush over here somewhere with the same color flowers, more or less, almost. So lavender, light blue, sky color. And so he got to the top and he looked. The whole field filled with chicory in bloom. Blue as the sky reflected in the pond. Bluer even, and somehow lighter, though they belonged to gravity. So if you've seen the flower, you know what he means. Even bluer and lighter than the sky, but coming out of the ground. And it's important also, I think, that chicory, most people would consider a weed. It's not very valuable. You can chicory root coffee. Yeah, right. Coffee. Coffee schmuffy. So this is coming into our body and our mind and meeting ourselves. Coming into gravity. And being there, being here. And the way Wendell Berry describes it, as if we've gone on pilgrimage, days and years traveling, to find something. And I love how he puts the phrasing. It's so simple. It's lovely to read it so slowly so it can be translated so that the English speaking can actually get the poem too, including myself. It comes much better really slowly. Because his words are just as simple as our body experience. It goes very well with meditation. No spectacular. Nothing special. Chicory flowers, hay, a hill, But it seems as then another world in this world, such as a pilgrim might travel days and years to find and find at last. So he includes this human experience where we went for days and years to find something. And we sometimes thought we were surely about to find it. We sometimes thought we found it. And then we found we hadn't found it. And then we thought we'd never find it. Or we thought what we thought, but only when we came home, we knew that is all. That is enough. So a moment seen, forever known. Just a simple experience that stays. The way that simple experience can stay, the enoughness inside simple experience, and our capacity to meet the enoughness of what is in our simple experience. That's all. So not only are they weed flowers, but they were the morning's blossoms and would not last. They weren't even going to last a whole day. He just happened to walk up at that point, and they happened to be open. And that fresh, that they had more, they could express aliveness more than the sky reflected in the pond. So just in the center of the field of flowers is this sky-reflecting pond. It's a kind of an aside to say this poem he dedicated, Wendell Berry dedicated to someone. And that's all. It just says her name. It doesn't say why. It's her name is Maxine Cumin. And in a way, it makes it be, it's only especially for her, but because who is Maxine Cumin, he doesn't tell us. It's something so personal that then it can be for all of us. Hey, Maxine. Come up the top of the hill for a second. So just a couple more minutes to conclude. So sometimes in all of our lives, there have been that kind of moment seen, forever known. And even if right now you think you have never experienced it, you have. And so part of the time on retreat is allowing that to come back. And not allowing that to come back as a torture. So letting it come back as a reminder that you love life, that you love whatever you want to call that. The red and the green, or the sky and the flowers. And that your love of that, or love doesn't need to be the word, that feeling when you come over the top of the hill and or you notice that your body is weird. Not because you think you need to lose or gain weight or all those silly thoughts we've been brainwashed into. Silly, painful. Our openness to our life. The times that we got surprised. We got our mind blown away. And how just for a second or less or more, everything in you said yes. Everything in you said, oh! Everything in you was with that. And it doesn't matter that the chicory flowers don't last, because it's not really the chicory flowers. And so that's a little bit our job, is finding out, okay, what moves you? What blows your mind away? Good. And then, isn't it more about the mind being blown away than the flower? And can we start to just go straight to the point? And so that's why I call it love, because some kind of yes response, or some kind of knowing that that responsiveness to life in each our own ways, but that ability to respond with openness, with wah, with awe, or delight, or devotion, or whatever. Lightness, or a sense of nothing needs to be added or taken away for this second. Staying deeply true to that state of openness as a priority. And then if you want to plant chicory flowers everywhere, go for it. Maybe not everywhere. That would be bad for the chicory flowers. It would be asking for disease in chicory flowers. So we can feel how good it feels, that response in the body and the mind of awe or devotion, lightness, simpleness. And we can pause and really get it, that it isn't anything special. It's that experience is something to close to the most important, the only important. And nothing special is happening. Specialness can't touch it. And so then that starts to let the part of us that goes and is willing to walk days and years to find that and can find it. It brings that together. We're willing to go anywhere and do anything and walk for days and years to find. And we can find. And the can find, wherever it happens, is the inner coming home. It's not always literally that you go around the world and then when you come back to your house, sometimes, yeah, but. Coming home into what actually just works well. What is in harmony with the way things are and brings out good when possible and can go through bad fruitfully. It's not a protective suit that stops bad, but it allows us to go through the difficult fruitfully. And so the main request is to play with giving up the search for trying to make these eyes, your usual way of looking, see the red in the green leaf. And just give up. The eyes, the way of looking that wants to know how am I going to get there, when am I going to get there, what's it going to be like when I find that moves me. The way of looking that knows there's a way it should be and a way it shouldn't be. And is really, really interested in that. So interested that we lose track of what? What am I? What is life? So then, I'm not saying where to find the other way of looking. That's part of, we could say, the game or the challenge. But it will be more easy if you know it's not going to be the normal way of looking. And it's not going to not be the normal way of looking. simple, just the breath, just the feet, just the contact with the ground, just life happening by itself, and feeling that. Taking away the right, wrong, just that. Then what? So we start to grow another way of seeing that what it feels like, so I am giving you a clue of how to find the other eyes. It feels like, well, my best guess is, and that's all. And then what works well? What works well now, short run, long run? And what doesn't work well? And sometimes there's techniques and rules and so on that are often helpful, sometimes helpful, occasionally helpful, depending. Like, don't hurt people, including yourself. That's a kind of, it's a good rule. But if we take it as a rule, then we start to lose track of the place that wouldn't know how to hurt somebody, including myself. We get into the, oh, I shouldn't, I hurt them, oh my God, or I'm hurting, it's so wrong. And that doesn't work well, doesn't work out well. So practicing coming back to where there's a response, breath taken. Enough. And how does it feel to come home in that way? And just practicing coming home anyway, even when there's not chicory blossoms. Through my best guess is that I'll lie down this meditation. My best guess is maybe I'll lie down this meditation. So I'll lie down. Could be wrong. Could be right. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it makes a difference, but it's not right or wrong. And then through experience of my best guess, we start to, it's like with the henna leaves, they get crushed into a paste and they get applied in a certain way and they get left on long enough and then you find, there's the red color undeniably. I wasn't just imagining. We can find the end of suffering. We can find a solution that's living, living quality. So we have time for some walking meditation and then a final half an hour meditation. I would like to mention that for me, it's more important that if you're really tired, go to bed now so that you can get up at 6 o'clock. Yes. Again, deep rest retreat. Please wake up at 6 o'clock and go on a walk or go jogging or dance or do the yoga on the grass or whatever. Or your own yoga or your own movement practice. The movement is really important. People sometimes have the idea that we came here just to, we're supposed to lie down all the time. And I am not saying that. It's complementary. It's very important. Yes, rest. Rest in movement, rest lying down. There's many flavors of rest. And if you're not terribly tired, it's such a lovely time to walk. I'd like to just say very little about walking practice for now and a little more tomorrow. One is just feel your feet. Or better, be inside your feet. And then again, just be inside your feet. And then again, be inside your feet. And notice when you're outside your feet, telling your feet what to do or imagining what they feel like. And then you can go back in your feet. That's practice. Practice doesn't mean you just turn the switch on and you're in your feet forever until you turn another switch. Okay? And then another part of walking is kind of finding your walk, finding the animal in your body and letting the animal walk your body. finding the child in your body, letting the child learn how to walk or just walk. For now, I think it's good to find a place to just walk in a circle or back and forth. But once in the day, at least, go on a walk, probably around the edge rather than right into the middle of the kibbutz or around the grass or something, but a kind of childlike being drawn to your spot, hanging out in your spot for a few minutes and then coming back. Okay. So please enjoy it.